You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and I'm joined today by my co-host, my colleague, and my friend, Katie McGreen. Hello, Katie.
Hey, Bill.
How are you?
I'm great.
Why are you great?
It's another great day at NRF 2018, Retail's Big Show.
Retail's Big Show at the Javits Center in New York City. It's always fun to be here with 38,000 of your closest friends.
Especially in frigid January.
And a lot of our offerings that bring these people to this show, one of them is the Innovation Lab. And we're incredibly fortunate today to have with us the guy who really is responsible for making this happen for us. His name is Seth Webb. He's Managing Director at Tusk Ventures. Seth Webb, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So, Seth, you have successfully, for a couple of our programs, been able to put together probably one of the most intriguing sections and offerings to our attendees, these innovation labs, an opportunity for the attendees at our shows to actually experience some of the things that are happening in these small startups that are attempting to address the needs of the retailer as they seek to better serve the customer. Tell us, in your conversations and as you look at these companies, what are you looking for that you think would attract the retailers to actually engage with them?
That's a good question. There's so many technology providers out there, and it's hard to do, so we developed basically three different criteria. One was we wanted to make sure that our exhibit contained a technology that was working in each stage of the shopping journey. So whether that's awareness, product consideration, product engagement, brand engagement, service and logistics, and the post-purchase process to create that loyalty and start it all over again. That was the first criteria. The second one was, are they hitting all those topics that are important, that everybody wants to learn about? Artificial intelligence, augmented reality, virtual reality, big data products and analytics, robotics. And then the third criteria was, have these technologies exhibited market fit? And we've measured that essentially by looking at, have they begun programs or pilots with retailers? Are those going well? Have they garnered the attention and investment of venture capital firms? And is their trajectory going north? So those were the kind of essential criteria that we looked at to curate the exhibits.
So was it hard finding these, or are there a lot of them out there?
It was hard. There are so many out there. We probably talked to over 250 companies over the course of this year, and everybody's got a great deck and a great demo that tells a good story, but it takes a little while to sort through the clutter and drill down and find out the real answers.
So, Seth, a lot of our listeners maybe aren't here at NRF 2018 Retail's Big Show and probably haven't had the chance to walk through the Innovation Lab. Tell us about some of the technologies specifically that are being exhibited and some of the solutions that they're providing or that they hope to provide, because I know some of these are early for retailers.
Sure. I like to start in the awareness category with some that I find pretty compelling. There is a company that we actually use to create our digital storefront that is called Glass Media, and they digitize window spaces for retailers. So instead of having to print and hang window clings and worry about staff losing them or spending time putting them up, this company allows you to control your window advertising from the cloud. So you can dynamically change what your message is. You can do things in 3D and that move, that are engaging to attract attention on the sidewalk. I find that one pretty interesting. Another one is Spacey, which is using augmented reality without a device. So they actually just use light and computer vision to turn physical spaces like blank touchscreens or even 3D printed objects into interactive tools. So what the heck does that mean? It means, like, for a retailer like Walmart who wants to explain to customers how to use their smart home device, like a Nest, they can use a plastic 3D printed object and they can use light to simulate the function of that object so that Walmart doesn't have to put out that expensive product and worry about a theft or sales, and it becomes a way to really provide more in-depth information about it. And so they have seen an increase in sales and a reduction of shrinkage.
You know, it's really interesting to me that everybody looks at all of these technologies. Well, I don't want to say everybody, but there's a large swath, particularly in what I would say the media, that believe that all of these technologies are merely being developed in order to replace humans and to reduce you know, the number of people that you need to employ in order to run a successful store. I'm not sure that I agree with that. As a matter of fact, I would say that I don't agree with that. I would argue that the way that the retailers look at it is they're getting these advancements, these technologies, to enhance their associates' ability to service the customer. To some degree, yeah, there will be changes, but there are also jobs that are being created in order to service these technologies. What are you hearing from those that are in the innovation lab talking about this? Are you getting any questions about that?
You do, especially in the robot section, right? And we have a robotic company out of Boston called Locus Robots, Locus Robotics, that works with folks like Quiet Logistics, which provide fulfillment services for companies like Zara and Bonobos. And they have these robots. They basically tried to build off the Amazon model, but instead of their robots in Amazon don't work with humans, alongside of humans, what Locus, the story that they tell you is that they their robots can work alongside of humans, and so it can increase human efficiency. And so they're not replacing humans, but they're increasing the efficiency, and they're also allowing fulfillment houses the flexibility to scale up during those push times, during holiday seasons, for example, when there's more packages and it's hard to find labor who could be hired on a short-term basis. And so they've seen an increase of productivity without replacing human jobs, and that's something that I've heard them talk about. You know, another thing that I'm seeing technology doing is providing services that retailers aren't able to provide right now. For example, there's a company in our innovation lab that works with Wayfair, who an online retailer of furniture goods, and they allow a customer not only once now what they allow Wayfair to do for its customers is not only can they order the furniture from Wayfair, but they can press a button and have it assembled at their home all in one click. So it's handy bringing their network of independent contractors married to the Wayfair platform, which extends a service they didn't previously provide. So it enhances the service, and it's not necessarily an employment issue.
Right.
It's really cool. There was one demonstration that I was watching on the Innovation Lab floor that was showing the technology is such that it allows you, if you, for example, have a couch, and you, as a retailer, you show three dimensions or three different pictures of that couch, so I as the customer can see what the couch is going to look like on all angles, mm-hmm. what the leg's going to look like, the back's going to look like, and maybe I offer that couch in 25 different fabrics. But apparently, it's very cost expensive. You know, it's very cost prohibitive to photograph that couch and to make that couch in all 25 offerings, and the person behind the company was saying, you know, what they can do is you send one set of images, and then their technology allows you to put all the different fabric variations, all the different pillow variations. You can then put it in, you know, if you're browsing online, you often see only sort of one styled version of that couch, where the couch is set in a living room with a coffee table, but you'll maybe only see it in one color in sort of that styled setting. And this allows you to see that same couch in every color that it's offered. And I know that's such a small thing, but for on the customer side, I look at it and go, wow, that really impacts my life, because I may not want the couch in the one photo where they're showing it what it actually looks like in a room. And they were talking about how that helps with conversion and how it helps with returns, because product people have actually seen what they're going to get, and particularly online. And I was just, it seems so small, but at the end of the day, so big for a retail company. Tell us other examples. I mean, I know I've just given one, but I think so much of the technology that's happening, people just expect these things to be there, but they're very quite complex and time intensive and very costly. What are some of the others that are making the customer experience easier?
Well, that's right. The one that you talked about, which is done by Everthread, which it has the visualization software. To get back to Bill's question, you know, they're actually by showing all those pillows and couches in all these different colors, they're able to do something that the company wasn't doing before. It's not like they're replacing jobs; they're enhancing service. They weren't going to spend the money on those photographing. It also enables on-demand manufacturing, so that, you know, there's a potential to buy more goods and to build more goods. But, you know, to go back to the question, and what are some other examples? You know, what we're seeing on that last mile of delivery is there's a robot up there done by Starship Technologies that is basically a cooler on wheels that you can put something in and have goods delivered, food delivered, prescription drugs delivered, other consumer goods delivered. And, you know, where there one model is to build warehouses, delivery warehouses on the edges of cities, and so you're able to deliver quickly into the cities. The other model is to leverage the workforce that's there through technology, which someone like Postmates is doing, where they use independent contractors to deliver goods. And however, on that last mile, it is not profitable for an individual to take a 1 mile delivery. It's just not worth their time. They could take a longer trip and make enough money. And so they've been working with an autonomous robot like Starship to close that last mile.
You know, Katie, one of the things you just said that kind of struck a chord, you said, you know, customers expect the ability to do this. I'm going to disagree with that a little bit. I think that once it becomes adopted, so if Wayfair does it, or if Overstock.com does it, or if Macy's does it, everybody else is going to find themselves in a place where they're going to have to do it because there's this acceptance. I don't, of all these technologies that I'm seeing upstairs at the Innovation Lab, I can't wait until, you know, there is widespread adoption, because certainly they're going to make the experience so much more fun, so much easier. You're going to really have a greater understanding of what you're getting, and, you know, in the color that you want to get it, and the size that you want to get it, in a very dynamic fashion. But I just, it's not there yet. And so my question to you, Seth, is this a 5-year? Is this a 10-year? Is this a 2-year? I mean, when are these technologies really going to start taking a foothold?
Well, I think all of these technologies are starting now, and they're scaling up quickly. If you look at something like... it's called FindMine. It's a AI software that allows you to complete the look. They just went through an entire pilot with Adidas, and now they're rolling out nationally. And so this program allows you to say, hey, that's a nice blue shirt, you know, I have, what kind of pants will go with it, what kind of jacket will go with it, and it can look at that shirt and give you a whole list of options automatically on the e-commerce site. So you're seeing that function, you know, automated right now in e-commerce. And then you have another company that works alongside them that is basically like the Shazam, which is the music app where you can, you know, turn it on and figure out what song is playing.
Right.
You know, I could take I could say, that's a nice coat Katie's wearing, I'd like to get it for my fiance, you know, and I can figure out where to buy that by just clicking. So they're starting to scale internationally now as well.
So basically, Bill, it's like modern day Garanimals for you.
Yeah, you know, I like that idea very much.
You don't have to decide what tie goes with that shirt.
And I don't,
right.
And I don't have to suffer the nervous anxiety I have when I leave the condo in the morning, I get to the office, and I get that look from you like, who picked that out for you? Honestly,
my strategy
happens all the time.
My strategy is just to go with a limited number of colors and options so that I can never make mistakes.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing that.
Which means I don't look very good.
I think you can look great, But if it's all blue, it's all blue. That's fine. Right. Who cares? I'm really thinking about going just gray and blue. It's, the stress is too great.
The minimalist wardrobe. It's, yeah. It's all the rage these days.
So, it is amazing to me when you look at these startups. And how did, we talk about startups. Somebody has an idea. They create a business plan. Mm-hmm. They go out. They look for funding. I mean, what is that process? It seems to me that there's so many different stages in order to get to the point where you can actually exhibit at the big show in the Innovation Center.
Right. I mean, it is, it's a lot of hustle. It's a lot of smarts and it's a lot of salesmanship.
Right.
Cause you gotta create something compelling. You gotta find somebody to back you, through that idea. And then you gotta actually perform and then translate that performance into a deal. And they're all going through those machinations right now, with various ways of support they've leveraged from the VC community.
Do you find that, a lot of what goes on, I think, there's a lot of noble failures out there. Are a lot of these guys, they've tried it, maybe it didn't work, they come back, went back to the drawing board, now they found something that works.
That's right. We see that in our firm all the time. People strike out and they come back. I'm looking, like, one of the things that I really love right now is this handwritten personalized notes at scale.
That's gotten a lot of attention.
It's a robot that can take your, and you can fill out an index card, Katie, and then you can send any message, and you can send a note in your handwriting to 25,000 of your closest friends.
I'm a huge handwritten note person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, obsessive about it. So when I saw that, it's sort of like, if you've worked in politics, the auto pen. It's like the modern day auto pen, where,
right,
but better.
But it goes beyond the signature. I actually asked how I could get one, and it's mostly just for companies, I think. AKA, they were telling me it's quite cost prohibitive for you to have your own, and we want you to pay us to handwrite your notes, but. What was really striking about that was the technology. I mean, for that technology, that's not completely new, but the scale at which they can produce notes, mm-hmm. They can send a million handwritten notes and the company can send them out for you, particularly, at least from my perspective, with sort of some of those high touch luxury brands, mm-hmm. where something like that really matters to a customer to get a handwritten note.
Well, it's the
customer
experience.
Kind of thing that brings brand loyalty.
Yeah, totally. That used to be the day. I mean, that used to be the way it was done. Department stores, you go in, you make the purchase, you get a card. Thank you for coming in. We're really excited. If there's anything else we can do for you, let us know. That's gone just because of scale. If you have a big department store and you've got 40,000 people coming through every day, you can't do that. But maybe you can. I mean, if you capture that information and you have this capability, you can have that personal touch. And I think that's what people really, really want.
You want to talk about personal touch? There's a company upstairs that can turn all those selfies you have into something useful. You can take a selfie, send it in, and they can tell you what kind of skincare products you need based on your age and facial recognition.
Wait. Skincare products?
Correct.
And based on your age, do you give them your age or do they guess your age?
You just take a selfie.
And then if you'd like,
you can add additional information, and they will say, "Bill, you're looking good."
No. What if they tell you?
Are you a little dry on you?
We had this one at Protect one time, and you walked through, and it said your age, your height, your weight, and your shoe size, and it gave it said I was like 62 and 240 pounds. And I told the guy that was running the show at that time, I said, they don't come back. That's just rude. But then somebody else went through, another colleague, and they said I was only 36.
We've got another one upstairs that at point of purchase displays, it can tell you what your emotions are connected with interacting with the product. And companies like Oreo and Coke are using that in Buenos Aires and Spain.
Well, if Oreo and Coke, you're always in a good mood. If you're getting Oreos, you're in a good mood.
But it helps them figure out how to display the product too.
Sure.
What's going to be the most effective way, and then I can use that information to retarget these consumers.
Seth, we're running short on time, which really bothers me because I want to have this conversation as an ongoing conversation, and we will. We've got other opportunities. We've got other shows coming up. If anybody wanted to learn more about Tusk strategies, where would they go?
Well, you just go to tusstrategies.com.
Very good. Right. So we have this part of the program that you know nothing about. It's called Rapid Fire.
Oh, great.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to ask you simple questions, and you're just going to tell us an answer, the first thing that comes to your mind. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right, Katie, start us off.
Most overused word in business today.
Personalization.
True. Last thing you geeked out over.
Smart home devices.
Favorite podcast other than Retail Gets Real?
Firewall.
Oh, what's that?
Yeah, really.
Bradley Tusk.
Oh. Your boss. That's for you.
Smart man. Yeah. Smart man.
Pizza or burger?
Burger.
One thing most people don't know about you.
I'm from Atlanta.
What was the last book that you read?
Something about soup cleanses.
Soup cleanses.
Is that the, well?
It's like a health. It's like a health thing.
What's your New Year's resolution? Soup cleansing?
I haven't made that commitment yet.
Yeah, there's more to life than soup, Seth.
I know. That's what.
Favorite candy.
Soup.
Oh, man. Lord.
If they came up with a soup candy, I think that would be the beginning of the end. Seth Webb, thank you so much for being our guest today on Retail Gets Real. You're doing great work, and it's really exciting. I've seen the number of people that have gone through the Innovation Lab. They're excited, and they're actually learning something. And so y'all have done a great job.
Do you think you can get me one of those handwriting? Can you work on that?
I'll work on that now.
Okay.
And thank you for having me. Really a pleasure.
And Katie, thank you for co-hosting.
Thanks, Bill.
And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We're going to post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Thanks again for listening. And from the 2018 Big Show at the Javis Center in New York City, we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.